7. So, let's talk about this, the love of beauty, and examine what increases the trouble. That way, we can determine whether the fault is ours or not. If it's ours, we should take all steps to overcome it. If it's not, why do we torment ourselves needlessly? And why can't we forgive, but instead blame those who succumb to it? So where does this love originate from? From physical attractiveness, says one, when the woman who prompts it is beautiful and has a pleasing appearance. That opinion has been stated thoughtlessly and pointlessly. If beauty was what made people fall in love, then all men would be in love with a beautiful woman. But if that's not the case, then this doesn't come naturally or from beauty, but from unchaste eyes. The moment you admired too closely, internalizing her beauty, you were struck. And who, asks someone, seeing a beautiful woman, can withhold from praising her beauty? If admiring beauty isn't a conscious decision, this implies that love isn't under our control. Halt, man. Why compile every aspect, spinning in circles and refusing to pinpoint the root of the issue? I've seen countless people who admire and compliment, yet are not in love. And how can one admire without falling in love? Don't raise objections, because that's what I'm about to discuss, but wait and listen. You'll hear Moses admiring Joseph, son of Jacob, stating, "And Joseph was a good-looking and extremely attractive man." General 66, 6, General 66, 6, LXX. Was he in love with the person he was praising? Absolutely not. For, he says, he did not even see the one he was praising. We tend to react similarly to beauty, whether it's seen or described. To not argue, consider David. Wasn't he extremely attractive and had beautiful eyes? So 1 Sam 16:12, 17:42, 1 Sam 16:12, 42, LXX. And this eye beauty is a powerful part of attractiveness. Yet was anyone infatuated with him? Not at all. So adoring someone doesn't necessarily lead to falling in love. Many have seen their mothers when they were exceedingly beautiful, yet they didn't fall in love, they just admired their beauty. That's because of nature's protection, you might say. How so, tell me? Because they are their mothers, you say. Yet haven't you heard that Persians without force engage sexually with their own mothers, and that it's not just one or two, but an entire nation? But apart from these instances, it's also proven that this infatuation doesn't come from mere physical attractiveness, but from an idle and wandering soul. It's pretty certain that many men, after passing over countless attractive women, have opted for those less attractive. This proves that love isn't dependent on beauty. Otherwise, the more beautiful women would have captured those men before the less attractive ones. So what's the cause of love? If it's not beauty that creates love, where does it start, and what's its root? From a wicked demon? Yes, that too, but we're trying to figure out if we too are part of the problem, because the scheme doesn't just involve them, it mainly involves us. This wicked infatuation primarily comes from habits, flattering words, free time, laziness, and idleness. Habits' power is massive. It's so big it can be formed into a natural necessity. If a habit can create infatuation, it's clear it can also extinguish it. Undoubtedly, many have stopped being in love by not seeing the person they were infatuated with. This might initially seem bitter and extremely unpleasant, but over time it becomes pleasant. And even if they wanted to, they couldn't rekindle the passion.